really warm welcome to the teaching ministry of New Life Church Crawley. We're a multicultural, intergenerational church. And we believe in the gospel of Christ. We believe in spreading his love through his word and through his works. We really hope that you enjoy what you hear today. We'd love for you to connect with us via the usual social media outlets, such as Facebook or on our website.
We'll do one more song and then Mark's going to come and speak to us today. So welcome everyone, if you joined us since we started, it's great to have you here. It's a bit of a special day for Keegan because the match is on this afternoon and Liverpool are doing very well and they're likely to trash Man United. But also, I don't know if it's equally as important, but there was some debate about that before the service. It's his 6th wedding anniversary today. So congratulations. I'm sure he's got something more special than watching Liverpool playing this afternoon. I'm sure of that. No, that's great. Musa, have you got the activity packs? You're going to come and explain to us what we're doing with the activity packs.
Thank you. I might need your help.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much. I didn't hire any of my volunteers today. They are on a break, Christmas holidays. All right. So kids for today in the activity packs, there's something that's exciting actually that you're going to find in there. So we'll start with a verse of the day. If we can say it together as a church, that would be awesome. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink from the scriptures declare. Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Amen. John 7 verse 38. Awesome. So the first thing you will find is my lovely assistant, if you could show them, thank you so much. That's a prayer journal for every day of the week. So kids, think about what it is exactly you'd like to pray for, because most of you are going back this week, actually. So if there's anything particularly you'd like, even for us as a church to pray for, please put it in the prayer journal. Share it with your parents after church, okay? And then right after that, my lovely assistant, could you turn it around? There's some fun activities to do at the back. So obviously word search, puzzles. Oh, that's the same one. And then there's also, oh, that's the same one as well. Oh my goodness. Just making sure people are paying attention. That one is different, my assistant, do you say?
That one's different.
Ah, lovely. You see, that's the trick. Okay, there's another one there that's different. And then for the final surprise, there's going to be a verse, which is the verse that we've just said now, about obviously coming and drinking from the well of living water. Please color it in. Once you've colored that in, come at the back. There's going to be bottles. What we're hoping you'll do is something similar to this. Okay, color it in, wrap it around, and you get a free water bottle, okay, to take home with you. Parents, don't take it away from the kids. We're watching you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. You know, these are not things that are just here to keep the kids busy. I don't know if you realize, but the more senses we use in learning, the more we retain, the more we remember. So that's why physical activities are often very good and getting involved with that even as adults as well. So, yep, if we go through announcements. So this Friday night is our encounter night. For those of you who don't know, the second Friday of every month, it's a normal pattern we do apart from usually December. We come and we worship, we pray and we seek God. So this Friday night we'll talk a little bit more about fasting. It's not really a preaching meeting or anything like that. This Friday night we'll probably do a little bit more than normal in preparation for the fast. So if you're able to come and join with us for that, it would be great. Just also to say tonight, it's not on here, but tonight there's a Lighthouse prayer meeting that we're hosting, and we're part of that. Many of you know we work with the Lighthouse in a couple of the schools in the local area. And 95% of children and young people don't have any connection with church. That's the reality of the situation in Britain. So we want to come and we want to pray into that. And we want to ask for God's favor and blessing. So if you're available, it's 7 o'clock tonight, and it's here, so that makes it nice and easy. Thank you. Next slide. So giving, I want to talk a little bit about giving. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, it should be on a slide there. talks about Paul saying, actually, the gracious act of giving. He commends the Corinthian church in many ways, and if you know anything of the Corinthians, he said, you don't lack any spiritual gift. But he says, I want you to excel in the grace of giving. I think that's every pastor's heart. There's many things we want to excel in. There's many things we should excel in. But I wonder, do we excel in the grace of giving? Well, we're right at the start. It's the first Sunday of 2025. This is an opportunity for you to begin that pattern, begin that habit. Many people have resolutions about New Year, don't they? But they don't last, because it's all dependent on our willpower. So we don't need new resolutions. We need new routines. We need new routines, new habits. And one of those things definitely, I think for some of us, has to do with giving. So I encourage you this year to be people who excel in the grace of giving, so that we have of more to give away. This is what Paul actually says. So you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us. I also want you to excel in this gracious act of giving. So let's be those people this year. Thank you. So as you know, usually at the start in January, we'll have a 21-day fast. This year it's starting next Sunday, and it'll take us right through. And the theme for this year is based on Isaiah 60, verse 1, where God talks about arise and shine. And I think in this nation, the church needs to do that. I think we need to arise. I think we need to take our stand. I think we need to shine. It's part of what Jesus said. Many of you will know Matthew 5, where Jesus said, let your light shine. God wants the church and us as individuals to shine. A couple of things I want to share about fasting that I think is important for us to understand. Fasting is always a voluntary personal act. Though we encourage, and we're doing it corporately, and a number of times in Scripture, the church did it together, God's people did it together, it's always a personal voluntary act. I don't believe in legalism. I don't believe that it applies to any area of our life, and that's true of fasting as well. However, I do know from what Jesus talked about that there's three spiritual disciplines that he said mark out his followers. You can look at it in Matthew 6. He said, pray, give, and fast. Those are the things that should mark a follower of Jesus. And sometimes that's what separates us from people who call themselves Christians. Because a lot of people call themselves Christian, don't they? But they're not followers of Jesus. But followers of Jesus will follow these basic spiritual practices of praying, giving, and fasting. So we want God to shine us. Let me explain how we can all be involved. Next slide, please. So what we're trying to do this year is a little bit different. Kind of some people requested, could we do the fast slightly different this year? So we are going to give you a number of options. Some of you want to pray from 6 to 6. So from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, and that's your fast. And then you may eat normally. That's fine if you want to do it that way. It's no problem. Here's something that I think is good for everyone. If fasting physically isn't an option for you, and fasting food isn't an option because maybe you need to take medication or something to do with your health, we do understand that happens in some cases. I think you can still do something, but you can certainly do the soul fast. Why don't you give up social media and gaming if you're a gamer? Why don't you get rid of all non-Christian television? Why don't you get rid of recreational internet? Some of you may need to do it for work and stuff like that. Why don't you get rid of novels, magazines, all of those things that just filter into our life that actually don't always build our faith? So you can do the soul fast, and I would encourage you to think about that. You can do a selective fast that may mean removing certain elements from your diet. It may be caffeine and alcohol, if you take alcohol. It may be chocolate and cakes. We've probably had enough of those over Christmas anyhow, so I'm not sure it's that big of a give up to give up those things. But for some of you, it might. Maybe for some of you, it's giving up takeaways and eating out during that period. Maybe there's something else as your favorite food that's actually going to cost you and be meaningful. That's the point. It has to be meaningful to you. It's not something, oh, I do that anyhow. So it may be that there's a selective fast. Next one. It may be that you'll continue with the Daniel fast, which is about removing meat, sweets, dairy, all rich foods from your diet. We're going to send out something on Signal this week that's a bit more. People often ask, can I have a list of foods that you recommend to avoid on the Daniel fast, or things that you encourage us to do during the fast? So that's obviously too small. I don't expect you to be able to read that. But just to say that when we put it out on Signal this week, there will be a readable A4 kind of sheet that you can look at foods to avoid. Children, I want to encourage you to think about this as well. We know that people of other faiths will fast. In fact, when we're in the schools, sometimes the kids will be set apart during lunchtime because they're during a period of fasting. So I believe, kids, you can be part of that as well, even if it only means you're skipping lunch. But you can definitely do some of these. You can give up chocolate and sweets. You can give up sugar drinks. You can give up snacks, apart from the healthy stuff, the fruit and the veg. You can give up playing in games on your consoles or your tablets. That's probably a big one for kids. Give up watching television or internet videos. Here's one that we can all do with at some point in our lives. Give up grumbling and complaining. I see all the parents are very keen on that one. But kids, maybe that's something you can think about, you can actually do. Young people, you can be involved in this fast as well. We encourage you to do that. This is not simply for adults. There's lots of ways you can do that. And a couple of additional things that may be useful for you is, why don't you spend some time in worship? There's lots of good stuff even on YouTube that's worship related that you can do. Even if you can't sing, even if you don't have a great voice, spend some time listening to worship music, be involved in worship music, and maybe even giving 30 minutes a day to look at the Bible. I've just restarted reading the Bible in a year again. Some of you I know are doing some of those plans and stuff as well, either for shorter periods or maybe even the whole year. So I think even our children and our young people can be involved in this. So I want to encourage you, parents, you can manage this with your kids. So if they express an interest, if there's something you think they should be involved in, then I think it's very possible. When we see places like Ezra chapter 8, where all the people were gathered, including the families, they actually fasted. If you look at Ezra chapter 8, it said they fasted that God would show them the way and that they might be kept safe. And I think in times we need that. So for all of us, whatever we do, certainly restricting our social media use. Go back one slide, please. Restricting our social media use, gaming, non-Christian TV and streaming, podcast, recreational internet, all of those things that actually have become part of our life, and maybe sometimes we even waste time doing it. Well, let's set aside those things during the fast and let's give time to God. You see, it's not just about fasting. It's about prayer and fasting. All right. Otherwise, it's just a hunger strike or a diet. So the important thing is that you make time for God during this time. In the time you will be doing these other activities, put aside some time where you can spend time with God and saying, okay, God, what do you have for me this year? What do you want me to do? What do you want to speak into my life? Jesus said, man does not live by, but by that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well done. So we can do without bread for 21 days, huh? And that's tough as an Irishman, Sue. Giving up the bread is the hard thing. But for all of us, there's something we can do to express our consecration, our devotion, our dedication to God. We spoke about Joshua 3, verse 5 on New Year's Eve, and it says, sanctify yourself, or purify yourself, or consecrate yourself. Same word, different versions. And it's that idea of sanctify yourself right at the start, coming and saying, I'm going to make preparation. I'm going to do something that costs me that may not be easy, but involves that sacrifice and saying to God, God, you're more important than even my daily bread. So because we're not legalistic and we don't believe in setting laws, you do it as you feel appropriate to God. You do it as you feel right to God. But let me give you a little tip. Set your mind to doing it. Once you set your mind to doing it, don't say, well, I'll give it a go for a day. It doesn't work. Because after a day, you just give up. Set your mind, set your heart for 21 days. And it's amazing how things line up when you set your mind, when you set your purpose, when you set your heart to do something, then everything else seems to fall in place. And let's be honest, for most of us, if we really want to do something, guess what? We find a way to do it, don't we? We do. So I really want to see us get in the right place and be in the right place this year. As Joshua 3:5 says, sanctify yourself as God prepares to do his wonders among you. Do we want to see God's wonders? We do. We need it. I need it in my own life. And so let's set our hearts to do that. Thank you. Have I anything else? So obviously you can contact me if you need to as well. But we'll put the rest of the information about the fasting on there. I see Winnie has slipped in. And it's Winnie's birthday tomorrow. So Winnie, you're going to come to the front. And we're going to sing happy birthday to you. Now, I know because of Christmas and all the stuff we had to do, we may have missed some birthdays. So if you're feeling left out and would like to kind of come and join Winnie, who's sorry she looked at me this morning. Henry was just before New Year, wasn't it? What was your date, Henry? He was in December. Anyone else that we've missed or that's coming up this week that we want to sing happy birthday to before? Who? Is he? Yeah, that's what happens when you come in late. Yeah. Sinead tried to argue with me. No. We were only 10 minutes late. No, you weren't, because we did happy birthdays after 20 minutes. But that's okay. Wasn't your fault. The blessing of the Lord will still be upon you. So we got Eze, Winnie, and Henry. So after three, who else? Is someone trying to hide, Sophie? Next week? But she's not around next week. Do we know that, please? Do you know you're not around next week and are trying to get out of it? Tell the truth. You're in church. Tell the truth. No. Sophie, come and get on the line. Yeah. Well done for grassing her out. Huh? She's good at pooping other people forward. I seen her poking the kids. Get up there for the song. Get up there. So we'll go along. Izzy, Winnie, Henry, and Sophie after three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ezzy, Winnie, Henry, and Sophie. Happy birthday to you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm not going to ask Sophie her age unless Peace knows it, because she outed Peace last week. Guys, why don't you come and lead us in a song before Mark will come and preach. Mark's going to bring a word from God, I think, for us today. I think it'll be really helpful for that. And I want to just encourage you to be in that place of receiving. One of the things we want to do as a church, we want to recognize gifting. Yes, are you with me on that? Some of you are nodding. We want to recognize gifting, but we want to celebrate character. See, gifting will take you so far, but it's character that makes the difference. And I can definitely say that Mark's a fat leader.
Huh? But that's not an insult. By fat, we mean someone who's faithful, someone who's available, and someone who's teachable. You've heard me say that before. You see, that's the mark of character. And I know some of the ministry that both Mark and Julie have been involved in nationally, with the prophetic ministry of Dr. Sharon Stone, who's a wonderful and incredible prophetic ministry, has done for around 50 years. And I know they came into the church, and one of the things they said, oh, we want to serve. And I said to them, okay, well, why don't you start on the T-Rota? No, truthfully. Because for me, the test of character is not about being up front. It's what you're willing to do behind the scenes. It's how you're willing to serve. So we recognize gifting, and we do that. We recognize the prophetic gifting in this church, but we honor character. And we've seen this character, the first thing they did. And I know from what Bev has said to me, that when we're lost for someone to fill in, when we need someone to step in, Julie is always the first to say, I'll do that. She's the first to respond every time to step in and serve. So we want to honor that character. And Mark, you'll just come straight up afterwards, okay? We'll bless you. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Let's just stand up and worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, set my heart on fire till you're all I want, till you're everything. Oh, Jesus, set my heart on fire till you're all I want, till you're everything. My life is an altar, my song will be the sacrifice, so let it rise high. To you alone I glorify,
Jesus,
Jesus, set my heart on fire till you're all I want, till you're everything. So let it rise higher, till you alone I glorify.
My life
is the altar, my song will be the sacrifice. So let it rise higher. Be glorified.
to your all I want, to your everything.
Just the voices,
Jesus, set my heart on fire, to your all I want, to your everything.
Thank you, Jesus. We just pray for the word, Lord. I pray that the word will be a seed in our hearts. Even as Mark brings the word, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be open, Lord. Let us see you in your word. We pray a blessing on both Mark and Julie, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
One, two. Okay, brilliant. You reminded me this morning that I'm in church, because normally when I stand up with a PowerPoint, as I will tomorrow, I do 3 hours, a 30-minute break, and another 3 hours. So she reminded me, you're not at work. Keep it brief. Keep it brief. I just want to... share a testimony quickly. David talked about giving. Many years ago, probably middle of the 1990s, I'm driving home from work and I had a thought float through my mind. You need to give the car away. And that I then responded, get behind me, Satan. I love my car. Give the car away. That was a stupid thought, wasn't it? I get home, went into the kitchen, said to Julie, I just had the most ridiculous thought float through my head. God said, give the car away. And she said, yeah, we need to. And we need to give it to Sandy and Steph. Well, give the car away. We can't give the car away. We owe £3,500 on it. It's not ours to give away. Okay, God, if you're telling us to give the car away, whatever. So I went to the garage, looked around the forecourt. That's the car we meant to have. So I went into the showroom, said to the sales manager, he said, you want to sell your car? Yeah, brilliant. Right, I'll go value it. Don't want you to value it. God's told me to give it away. Well, his expression was great. What? God's told me to give it away. I need you to give me £3,500 so I can pay that off and give it away, and I want that blue car there. Do you know God did it? He gave me gave us the £3,500. We gave the car to Sandy and Steph. Now, what we didn't realise was Sandy and Steph had been praying for a new car. God, we need a car. It's got to have a tow bar. Our car had a tow bar. I'd love it to have a sunroof. Our car had a sunroof. I'd really like a really nice stereo. The car that we had a Blaupunkt stereo, and it had an absolutely awesome sound to it. And there were several other things that Sandy and Steph had been praying for. Our car had everything. Now, I'm not telling you to go and give your car away, right? Because if you think you can manipulate God by giving your car away, that's presumption. And God doesn't honour presumption. He honours faith. And so, having given the car away, it's like, okay, God, we have this incredible new car. It's like, fantastic, thank you, Jesus. But what does it say in Scripture? Give and you will be given a good measure, pressed down, running over. Having given the car away, Ashley passed his test when he was in the sixth form. A millionaire that we never met and have never met gave him his first car. When Abigail was in the sixth form, she was given the money to buy her first car. And we have been stupidly blessed ever since with cars, and I'm convinced it's because we were obedient and gave it away. So when David says give and you'll be given a good measure, it's true. We have been stupidly blessed with cars ever since we gave that one away, and God made a way. So what do I believe God's saying for 2025? If you've never sat and received a prophetic preach before, it's different. What the prophetic preach does, it builds a picture. And by the end of the message, hopefully, you'll have a complete picture of what's going on and what God wants to do in and through New Life and through you. Now, I just want to paint a picture. It says, the gift of prophecy, or the spirit of prophecy, Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So tap yourself, all flesh. He's pouring out his spirit on all flesh, that your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So declare, I will prophesy.
I will prophesy.
Amen. Your old men shall dream dreams. David told me he has lots of dreams. I'm much younger. I don't have dreams. I have visions. Okay? It's true, isn't it? Yep. And your young men shall see visions. That's us. Okay? Now, David said that we sit under Sharon and Greg. We're both ordained as prophets. Now, there's a difference, okay? Everybody's called to prophesy, but not everybody's called to be a prophet. So Julie and I are ordained as prophets, recognise that we have a prophet. We sit in the office of prophet, and it says there, and he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. Our role is to get you to prophesy so that you can go out into the world. So let me demonstrate what I mean by prophecy. Sarge, anybody who's near Sarge, will you lay hands on him for me, please? Okay. Sarge shared testimony on New Year's Eve that he had a rough ride in Pakistan. It was a tough process for him to go through. Sarge, the Spirit of the Lord says, when you go back, if you go back to Pakistan, know this, says the Lord, I am training you to walk on wooden stilts. And as you walk on wooden stilts, several things will happen. Wood is an insulator, it's not a transmitter. So the curse that was laid upon you when you were last in Pakistan that you walked in, now you're going to be able to walk taller, you're going to be able to walk smarter, and you're going to be able to walk with your head in the heavenlies. The Spirit of the Lord said, where that curse was laid in your shoe in Pakistan, the Spirit of the Lord would say, you can walk now without fear or trembling, because you have an insulator between any curse that they may have laid on the ground or put in your shoe and yourself, because there's an insulation of wood. The Spirit of the Lord would say that you can walk tall. The Spirit of the Lord would say, as you walk on the stilts, you'll be head and shoulders above everybody else in the room. So you will stand out and you will be recognized for the anointing that's upon your life, and you will be able to work and minister with greater power, with greater authority, and with greater impact, says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord would say, your head is going to be in the heavenlies. So you're going to know with greater clarity what it is that I want to minister into the person's life in front of you, what I want to minister into them, and to release the potential in them, because your head is in the heavenlies. The Spirit of the Lord will say, as you walk in your new anointing in Pakistan, because you're, and not just Pakistan, wherever he takes you, because you're walking on stilts, your stride is much greater. So the Spirit of the Lord would say, what took you 3 weeks previously will take one day, because you're taking much bigger strides. You're going to be able to cover much greater ground, you're going to have greater impact, and you're going to actually see things that are way, way beyond your wildest imagination, says the Lord.
Musa, where's Musa? Where's she gone? I have a word for you. The Spirit of the Lord will say, daughter, in this last year you've been looking for answers to prayer and answers to situations, and they haven't come to pass. But the Spirit of the Lord said, this is a year to see them come to pass, because the Lord says, I am wanting to fulfill, I am desiring to fulfill, I am hungry to fulfill, and I'm passionate to see those things which run your heart come to pass, says the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord will say, I am going to cut you loose from the harbour, because a ship cannot set sail whilst it's tied up, and it doesn't know where it's heading while it's tied up. But once it sets sail, it can be directed. And the Spirit of the Lord just reminded me about how Joseph was in Egypt with Mary and Jesus, but he had to come back, and the Lord said, go to Israel. But partly through that journey, he redirected him and went to Nazareth. And the Spirit of the Lord said, there's been some things that you've looked, well, that looks like a contradiction, and that doesn't marry up, and that doesn't look like it's coming together. They look like there's been a contradiction, but the Spirit of the Lord said, there wasn't a contradiction, and there won't be a contradiction. It's just me directing you on the right path, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak for men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all to speak with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Now, what does that look like? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? When I'm marking assignments, I'm prophesying because I'm declaring the truth over them. That part of your essay is fantastic. Now let's look at this. Now let's think about that. Now, and God tells me what to put in when I'm marking an essay. That's prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, the other thing is with prophecy, it's partial, potential, and conditional. So the word to Sarge and to Musa, partial. If God revealed to us exactly what he wants to do, it would blow our mind and we'd walk away thinking, that ain't going to happen, is it? So he only reveals part of it to get our juices running, as it were, and get you salivating, because if he revealed it all, it would be too much. Partial, potential. If Sarge never goes back to Pakistan, he's not going to see that word fulfilled. So it's potential. And it's conditional. You have to embrace, Sarge and Musa, you have to embrace the word and say, so be it. And then position yourself ready. So prophecy is always partial, potential, and conditional. And so if you get the opportunity, speak life over somebody. Your words carry power. The word tells us there's power in the life of the tongue. So if somebody walks into church in the morning and says, damn me, you look rough, your words have a physical effect on them. If somebody walks into church and says, wow, you look amazing this morning, it lifts them. That's prophecy. God's got such plans for you. And it's like, you may not have any ideas what it's saying, but God, doesn't it say, I know the plans I have for you to give you hope. So you declare, God's got amazing plans for you. That's prophecy. You don't need to do what Julie and I do, saying, thus saith the Lord or whatever. Because you look batty. If you're prophesying to unsaved people, you just declare what God shows you in a manner that they can receive. You look bonny, you look fantastic. Do you realise 2025 is going to be an absolutely awesome year for you? Okay? So everybody should be prophesying. Come here on the next slide, please. So what's God saying to the church, to New Life? Okay? Julie, do you want to read the two scriptures for this one, please?
Genesis 6, verse 5 to 8. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Genesis 9, verses 12 to 17. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is a sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth.
So God looked at the earth and it was sin-ridden. Is it any different today? When God looks at Crawley, what does he see? Godlessness, sin, adultery, fornication, theft. So when he looks at Crawley, he sees what he saw there. And I'm not saying that God is going to flood Crawley, because there's a promise there that he won't ever flood the earth again. However, what I do believe God is saying is that he wants to flood Crawley, Sussex, the southeast, and the whole of the nation with his glory. So we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So how is God going to flood Crawley with his glory? Now, if you go back to the Dam Busters, I don't know whether you're aware of the Dam Busters, but the Dam Busters, the secret mission was called Operation Chastise. And before the Second World War, the British Army had recognised that the Ruhr Valley in Germany was responsible for 60% of Germany's output. That's where the tanks were made, that's where the ammunition was made, that's where all the bullets were made, that's where their war machine sat, 60%. And so what they decided to do was that they would bomb the dams. However, it was almost impossible because across the edge of the dam there were nets to stop them dropping a torpedo and blowing the dam up. There were three sets of barriers, and so they needed to come up with a plan. So do you want to play the video, please? They created a bomb that when they dropped it, it spun backwards and it bounced over the three barriers and then stopped and then sank down the edge of the dam, bang. They breached the dam and they breached the dam. Do you want to put the slide back up, please? As you can see, that was one of the dams that they breached. They breached the Mohn Dam, and I can't find my notes. There were two that went anyway, and it flooded the whole area and wiped out for a number of weeks their ability to actually produce anything. And the incredible thing is that this here, Julie and I have stood on the edge of the Derwent Dam when we went for a walk with friends who live in the Peak District, and there was a Spitfire and a Lancaster flew over because that's where they practiced. So whenever they do a Battle of Britain fly, when they go out to air shows, they fly over the Derwent Dam as a mark of respect. And we happened to be there, didn't we? And it was like, oh my goodness me, you could hear these engines roar, the Merlin engines of the Lancaster and the Spitfire flying over. And it's like, wow. Next slide, please. It just so happens that we have water flowing beneath the church. So it comes across our... Sorry, go back. It flows across the corner and goes across our land here. And so, you know, God's not intent on flooding Crawley physically. He promised that he would never do that, and the rainbow signifies that. But I really believe he wants to flood Crawley with his glory. And in the same way that in flooding the Ruhr Valley wiped out the enemy, the Germany's ability to produce ammunition, he wants to flood Crawley to actually deal with the sin. He's desperate for revival. And revival starts with an individual. David, Bev, me, Julie, you guys. It starts with the individual. and he wants to revive us that we can flood Crawley with his glory. So how did he do it? Do you want to jump the next one, please, if you will, Bethany? Right. So where does our water come from? And it's interesting. I'm into names and what words mean. So the water flows from two main places, Tilgate Lake. And Tilgate literally means the gate where you go to till. And till means the art of preparing land for seed, to plough the land and to till the land and to get it ready. So how ironic, God knew that, that the water that flows beneath the church comes from Tilgate. So he's got us positioned ready to till the land, the people of Crawley, to receive the word of God that it might grow. The other place that it that flows from is Titmus Lake. And Titmus is a derivation of titmouse, which is a small, active songbird from the Northern Hemisphere. We're a place of worship. New Life is a songbird. So the fact that it comes from Tilgate, and we've got worship, and we're ready to sow the seed. So how's God going to break the dam? Okay, Bethany. The problem is that the water that flows beneath is in pipes. We don't actually see the water. And that's not how God intended it. He intended it to flow freely and to find its own route and to find its own path. But we contain it so that we prevent the flooding. So what we need to do in the prophetic is to break the pipes open in order that the land can be flooded. So how will that happen? Yeah, we don't want to be contained. If you think of the religious church, it's all very contained. It's all very restricted. It's all very nice, and nobody ever gets challenged. God don't want that. He wants it to be wild like a raging torrent. So he wants to take that, destroy it, and let it flow freely. If you think about it, the majority of Crawley on a Sunday morning, church is irrelevant. Anything but. Jesus is not irrelevant. Next slide, please. So, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have life more abundantly. So, what's God going to do, and how is he going to do it? Now, we've seen the dam busters, and we need to break out of the containment. Because for the majority of people on a Sunday morning in Crawley, church is an absolute irrelevance. In fact, probably, you know, if you live next to an Anglican church that's got a really loud bell, it's an irritation. Because that's the only connection that people have. They hear the bell ringing to call the faithful to prayer, but it's an irritation. Why do they have to ring those bells, for Pete's sake? It's annoying when I'm trying to have a line on a Sunday morning. We need to make church relevant. We need to break out of the pipes that the enemy's got us contained in order that we can flow in the manner that God wants us to do. So what's our function and purpose as New Life? He showed me a river of water. Do you want to read that scripture, please?
Revelation 22:1-5, the river of life. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever.
Put your hands on your belly. Out of your belly shall flow streams of living water. I decree it, I declare it, I release it in Jesus' name. And if you notice there, it says, bore 12 fruits. We've got 12 months ahead of us. God wants every month to be fruitful. We are going to see people saved, set free, healed, and delivered. when the streams of living water flow from our bellies. God wants to break us open, break us out of our contentment, break us out of our religiosity, break us out of our form and function, and actually see us flow. Next slide, please. So who are we? We are the new Dambusters. Dambusters New Life. God's Air Force Bomber Command. Because that's what the original mission was called. God's Air Force Bomber Command. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Where is he going to answer that prayer? In your fast.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you enjoyed the teaching. We'd love to hear from you, so please contact us. All the details can be found on our website. God bless.